principle, the UN role from the beginning was to create administrative structures and to ensure that across Kosovo there was the rule of law and that, that there was a sort of similar relationship of every part of Kosovo to the centre. And unfortunately, in Mitrovica, there have been various different approaches, and some of those approaches have actually, in some ways, supported the division of the town and have maintained a status quo rather than trying to find creative ways of starting to chip away at this division. When I was working in Mitrovica, I was there as the quote-unquote mayor of Mitrovica, or the UN administrator. And I was appointed because it became very clear that there were some chances of actually taking Mitrovica further, and we'd been working very hard with the head of mission to find these opportunities and to create these openings. And so I went in with an agenda to try to really find some common points and create some momentum around economic issues, for example, and urban planning and trying to find those parts of the common sort of interest of Mitrovica citizens that could be mobilized to create change in the town and to overcome some of the divisions that have been created by the war. Mitrovica is probably one of the saddest towns that I've ever been to. It's the division is very, very apparent. There's a river that runs through it, but the river is seen by most citizens, especially in the north side, actually as a wall, and so life is very segregated on the two sides. There are a lot of buildings which are half built. There's an old Mitrovica underneath some of the current architecture, which has then been covered up with socialist style large apartment blocks, and so it's a very confusing town in many ways. But then it has the river. There are some points of potential charm in the urban area, but now with this conflict and with the division of the town, there's very little. The areas which you think would be the most pleasant and the ones that where people would congregate are actually very much empty. So on the north side there's a nice sort of green area on the other side of the bridge which is used very little. The bridge itself used to be, in the evenings people would walk along a walking pedestrian area in the south, across the bridge, up into the north. And since there is no communication now between the two sides, this whole area has changed in character. Mitrovica is the divided town of Kosovo. There are a few other areas in Kosovo where you have large Serb minorities. There are also a few Serb majority municipalities in the north, but Mitrovica is the one that has an ethnic division, which is being fought over. Also, in terms of the final status talks, there's a constant attempt to define and to put facts on the ground about what Mitrovica should be and where boundaries should lie, because one of the options that is being floated and which I believe that many in Belgrade would like to see would be to partition Kosovo along the river that runs through Mitrovica. So it's very much a contested territory. But when you actually go there, it becomes in some ways absurd that there's so much focus on this little town of Mitrovica, because the northern part of Mitrovica, the urban area, which is the contested area, is only 2.5 square kilometers. So it's a very, very small space which has become so contested and somehow generates so many violent emotions. There were initially a few incidents. There was a bomb in a cafe in North Mitrovica. There was a bomb in a UNHCR bus that was carrying minorities through the majority Albanian area. There were various incidents which then created a situation where people started being forcibly moved out of or across the bridge. So Albanians moving into the south and Serbs moving to the north. And these incidents started in February 2000, but there were a series of problems which then really consolidated the ethnic profile on both sides of the river. So initially, Mitrovica was very, very mixed, and so the tradition of the town, more so than anywhere else in Kosovo, was one of living together. And Trepča was one of the key elements, the factory, the industry where both Serbs and Albanians worked together, started, they had social lives together in a way that was quite uncommon in Kosovo. And that started breaking down when Milosevic withdrew the autonomy of Kosovo, and Albanian workers were forced out of Trepča. That began to create tensions between the two communities, and then after the war, these were exacerbated by hardliners. And at that time, in the early 2000s, there was an organization called the Bridge Watchers was created in the north, which then was basically a group of vigilantes that prevented Albanians from coming into the north. And initially, this was really a way of protecting the community, because there had been bombs and there had been various acts of violence against the community there. But eventually, it became a way of consolidating the ethnic division in the town. The Serbs who have moved into the north from other parts, from smaller enclaves, and from Pristina into North Mitrovica. But in the south, in fact, there's been something of a gradual emptying out of the town. And that's been something that's been an ongoing trend for a longer time, that the Mitrovica, after the factory, the bulk of Trepča was close to the Albanians. There's a lot of movement out of Mitrovica, both abroad and to Pristina to look for jobs. There were 20,000 jobs in Mitrovica around Trepča, the mines and the heavy metal industries. But this is not the future. The mines have been most of the ore has already been dug out, and there's in order to be able to utilize the mines, there need to be an enormous amount of investment, and even the most optimistic scenario would be maybe being able to employ about 2,000 people in Trepča. So this is clearly not going to be the only motor for restarting the town, but what the town needs is some serious thinking about how it could be developed. And while I was there, we started a sort of like local economic development planning process to try to identify some of those areas which could be where you could see some elements of reviving Mitrovica and creating employment. Mitrovica had probably the largest settlement of Roma anywhere in the former Yugoslavia. It was about 750 houses, and it's hard to say exactly how many people, but maybe 7,000 Roma who lived there. Many of them worked abroad as Gastarbeiter, bringing home money and maintaining their families in Mitrovica. So it's hard to actually know exactly the population number. But this was a very prominent settlement, very solid, big houses, clearly quite a wealthy Roma settlement compared to many of the others that I've seen across Yugoslavia. And this community was essentially remained in place throughout the war. But then, when the war ended, and Albanians started coming back from the various their displacement or from refugee situations, there were groups that then set the Roma community on fire and kicked out the Roma, and then the Roma spread across to northern Mitrovica, northern Kosovo, but also to Serbia, Montenegro, and all across Europe. So you have this very large community which has been now scattered all around. And this is one of the things that we started working on while I was there, trying to create a way to create contacts again with the Albanian community to make it safe for the Roma to return, identifying donors to rebuild the Roma Mahala, doing some urban planning around how to make it actually function. There were no proper infrastructure services, and the community was a fire hazard in itself because it was very narrow lanes and so on. So we were trying to put in place a comprehensive plan of redeveloping that area for the Roma, but also then had a Roma Albanian forum to bring together prominent Albanians and some of the Roma representatives to make sure that the Roma would also have safety when they return. I don't know how far. I know that this is still under the work is going on by the Danish Refugee Council on trying to implement some of this work, but of course again the riots which targeted both Serbs and Roma in the spring of 2004 have made the situation much more difficult for, and psychologically difficult also for the Roma to come back. The camp of Chesmin Luk, which is really a horrible condition. Little shacks with tin roofs and water coming in and no proper rubbish collection, and really very miserable conditions. And you can see that there hasn't been much of an effort also by the Serbs in the north to find ways to provide for the Roma. And the Roma continue to work in similar jobs as they always had in Mitrovica, and in woodcutting, in cleaning jobs, and doing rubbish collection. So they're very much in the same position where they were before, only they're much more vulnerable in terms of their actual living situation. Because all of those Roma from Roma Mahalla who could went further abroad. So the most vulnerable Roma are the ones who stayed in North Mitrovica or in other camps in northern Kosovo. But the Albanians that I've talked to in Mitrovica all say that these were not Mitrovica citizens. They were not Albanians from Mitrovica who burned the Roma settlement. And it's possible that there's a very hardline region, Drenica Valley, which is south of Mitrovica, that it was some of the hardline Albanians from that area who then with the movement back by Albanians after the war was ended, were actually the ones who pushed out the Albanians there. But it's very unclear. It's very hard to get any real information about what happened in those days. But the Roma were seen as were labeled as sort of collaborators, and so this was the justification for destroying the settlement. It was a very very complicated relationship. The Roma were always the bottom of any hierarchy in Kosovo. They had very little schooling, but those who did go to school learned Serbian in schools rather than Albanian. But even in this, this Roma community was mixed. There were some families that were Albanian speaking, some were Serb speaking, some went to Serbian language schools, some to Albanian language schools. But in most of the work, types of employment that the Roma had were as cleaners, as woodcutters, so really at the bottom of the social hierarchy. So they were very vulnerable, and I think they oriented themselves always towards whoever was in power and happened to be the Serbs at the time. So that's what this sort of sense of the Roma as Serb collaborators came from. We tried to, from the UNMIK administration side, we tried to do what we could, but we also didn't want to make this camp permanent. And that's why I was directing most of my efforts at trying to find a way to rebuild the Roma settlement that was there before the war. Because if the camps are made into permanent structures, then you really have an end to the dream of the Roma getting their properties back. But it has been it's been a much longer period than it could be acceptable living in the condition that they live in now. So something obviously has to be done to help them. I think that the overall direction of how final status will be handled is becoming rather clear, but if you look at Mitrovica specifically, it's not clear to me yet how that fits into the process. We argued very strongly, both myself as the sort of head of the UNMIK administration there, and ESI, the European Stability Initiative, that we really must find a way to deal with Mitrovica before the final status discussions take place, to prevent these attempts to create facts on the ground and to force a partition or to force a situation in Mitrovica which then sort of accepts the division that's been happening on the ground. Now it's what has been encouraging in the last couple of months is that the contact group, which are the five main countries that are involved in trying to find grope towards a final status, the US, Russia, the Germans, French, and British, have made a statement saying that partition of Kosovo is just not an option. So that in some ways already starts to deal with the Mitrovica problematic. But at the same time, there's also a fear that there'll be attempts to create a quick fix solution for Mitrovica, which will not in the end hold. So what we always tried to advocate was really taking a very strong look at the facts on the ground. How does this place work? What are the economic incentives? What are the political dynamics? Why are people so worried about what their fate will be in Mitrovica? And how do we actually create some sense of stability and sense of a future for Mitrovica? Because when I went to Mitrovica, I realized that this is really a dying town. If nothing happens, more and more people will leave. There will be an exodus of Serbs, but there will also be the Albanians will also leave because there are no jobs. There's nothing to live off of in Mitrovica. And so you have to actually start grappling with the fundamental issues of what can this town be for the future, and how do you create a dynamic which starts overcoming the division and creating some common future for the people who live there. The local communities are clearly manipulated, particularly the Serbs. It often feels that they shoot themselves in the foot by following directions from Belgrade. In the last elections, they were essentially instructed from Belgrade not to go to the polls, and there was almost entire boycott, which means that now there are no Serbs in any of the institutions, or no elected Serbs. There are some appointed there's appointed Serb refugee minister, there are appointed Serb members of the parliament, but there are no elected officials who really would carry legitimacy from the community. And that's really very unfortunate, I think, for the community there. In terms of final status, I think that the community, unfortunately, will not have very much to say. But we also found when we tried to advance this agenda of a new way of tackling the Mitrovica problem, that when we talked through the issues and the economic dynamics and the political dynamics with the local people, they really recognized this as a description of their reality and saw that something along the lines of what we proposed would become a solution. What we essentially proposed was that there would be a separate municipality. Or the Serb part of North Mitrovica would be joined up with another Serb municipality in the north, and there would be a Serb majority municipality where they would be free to take decisions on local issues. But at the same time, they had to accept the return of all the Albanians who wanted to return to their properties in the north. This was something that both sides found difficult, but where I think that they understood that this was a basis for actually agreeing to a future. A way ahead for Mitrovica, but this was not really this didn't gain support in Belgrade and elsewhere where it would have needed support. So it's unfortunately it remained unimplemented. The time has actually, in some ways, made the situation more entrenched. People have started to accept their lives in the way that Mitrovica now is, and the current reality of Mitrovica of division. The second answer is that I think there is room for movement, and that's what we discovered when I first went to Mitrovica. I felt that we really were making a lot of progress and things were changing, and there was also already then very determinedly we tried to remove the visual representation of conflict and of division, and I worked closely with the police and military at that time, KFOR and the UN police, to start dismantling the barbed wire on the bridge, and by the time that the riots occurred last March 2004, there was no barbed wire, and there was only a local Kosovo police service officer standing on the bridge, which was part of why it was so easy for the rioters to stream across the bridge, because all of that military buildup had been removed. After the riots, then the situation was thrown back into the 2000-2002 situation, which looked very militarized. And now, over the last year, again, there's been a gradual building down of that presence, and as far as I know, now there are, again, only Kosovo police service officers on the bridge. So this is something that is... The change has taken place before, it's taking place again, and I hope that this time there'll be enough confidence on the side of both communities, and that there won't be a further incident that then throws things back to the previous situation. But I think that what this also shows is that it's not enough to just work on the sort of military security level, but that you need to actually address some of the fundamentals. You need to address the issues of the economy and of how people live and the social structures and give people a view for the future, because the part of the problem of this city is that it is a dying town. People are frustrated. They don't see what they have, what's in store for them, and in this situation, there's no interest to ensure that things normalize. There's exactly the opposite interest. There are conflict entrepreneurs who benefit from the fact that there is a conflict. The northern economy is entirely built on transfers from Belgrade and a sense that this is a stronghold. Serbs have to be remain here, and under those conditions, there's very little real genuine concern for creating a lasting stability and a situation of normalcy, and so that's where a lot more thinking needs to be done about how you create the incentives to really normalize and to get people to back and to have a stake in Mitrovica becoming a perfectly normal, undivided town.